Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Hey pet friends, welcome back for another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. They say I only appear when the water's warm and the sun's high. Well, here I am. I'm Nessie, your mythical pet safety lifeguard, here to make sure the only thing getting fried this summer is your barbecue.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. I'm Echo. You've probably heard me before.
And today we are tackling part two of our summer safety and heat things and hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Yes.
Hot dog.
Oh, okay. So you bring that up. And when I was up in Michigan with my nieces and nephew, my 2.5-year-old niece loves Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And oh my gosh, I only just got that song out of my head.
I'm so sorry.
Now it's back.
I like it so much.
My sister-in-law loves to paint rocks, like little river rocks, and then she leaves them around town just to kind of make people happy. And so, here's one that I did after listening to that song all week. So the description here is, I painted a hot dog on an oblong-shaped river rock, and across the top it says, hot dog, hot dog. And then the other side has Mickey and Minnie, and it says, hot diggity dog.
That is real cute.
I did not like Mickey Mouse when I was a kid. I had this is going to sound so stupid, but when I was a kid, I had this like intense fear that when I would be sleeping, my mom would always leave my door cracked open just a little bit. And I always had this vision that like evil Mickey Mouse and evil Donald Duck and evil Goofy were like going to like poke their head into my room and try and kill me with a knife.
Oh.
It's crazy. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why. I do not like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, dear. I apologize, but I happen to really like that song, so.
You're allowed. Like, I thought we should start off today. I don't have any, like, fun facts or anything, but I have a little quiz. A quiz for us vet techs. So, we're talking about heat-related illness. We're talking about heat stroke. So we were talking about panting a lot our last episode. So let's talk about, like, what is normal body temperature for dogs?
So I like to say that 99.9 up to 102.9. The doctors usually only count, like, 103 and up as a fever.
Yes. When I was younger, I learned 101 to 103. What Google says, 100 to 102.5 degrees Fahrenheit, which is like 37 to 39 Celsius. So normal body temperature for dogs is higher than it is for people. What is the normal breath rate for dogs?
Depending on the dog size, between 20 and 30.
Yeah, Google says between 15 and 30, but that's what I said too. Normal breath, it can be as low as 10 if you have like an athletic dog. But what is the range for, like, what's considered panting for a dog?
60. 60 feels like panting.
Quick Google search. Like, I didn't look at any papers for this or anything. But it said, you know, if your dog is relaxing, you know, and they're just like laying down, they're at home, they haven't just exercised, it's not super hot out, then excessive panting would be over 40 breaths a minute, but that's while resting or sleeping. That is a problem if they're resting or sleeping. But if they're exercising, or if they're really, really super hot, like it's super hot outside, you know, or if they're super stressed, regular panting can exceed 200 breaths a minute. But some sources can say like even 300 to 400 breaths a minute if they're panting really heavily. I mean, when we bring in surgery dogs and we do our TPRs, which is temperature, pulse, respiratory, when we're taking vitals, when we, you know, oftentimes they're panting because they're stressed out. And like that can be 80, 100, 120 breaths a minute, mm-hmm. just panting. So I feel like that.
Feel like they are, when I'm getting rates of like 60, that's when I start to see like the tongue is out and they're starting to breathe faster. Like maybe other people don't consider it panting, but I think once the tongue comes out, it's pant to me.
Absolutely. I mean, and we talked about it our last episode, like panting, the purpose of panting is to get airflow over the mucous membranes. And when their mouth is open, that is what is happening. So yeah, absolutely. I'd call that panting as well. There are several studies done about heat-related illness in dogs. There is one specifically that I read and I wanted to talk about because the purpose of this study was to compare brachycephalic breeds to non-brachycephalic breeds based on body condition scores, which we talked about in our obesity episode, and relate that to respiratory thermoregulation. So I thought this would be a great time for a Nessie-Deffy. Do you have a Nessie-Deffy for thermoregulation? Yeah. So like maintaining body temperature via inhalation and exhalation is the respiratory part of that. So this study looked at 52 brachycephalic and 53 non-brachycephalic dogs, and it exposed them to a cool environment and then a hot environment, all within like a contained and controlled laboratory setting. And they did note that treatment was discontinued if a dog showed signs of respiratory distress. As a bit of a review from when we touched on brachycephalic respiratory issues in our purebred episode, dogs lack the extensive sweat glands that humans have. So they rely on the evaporation of water from mucous membranes of the respiratory tract to dissipate the excessive heat. We probably should start by just reviewing what brachycephalic means. Do you have a Nessie-Deffy for that one?
Smoosh face.
Yes.
You take a phase and you move, and now you have a brachycephalic.
Yes. So brachy means short, and cephalic means head. So really it means short head.
Little short head.
To increase the amount of heat dissipated, dogs have to increase the amount of air that passes through oral or nasal mucous membranes. And so they do this by increasing ventilation, which is the speed at which they breathe. Now, they have to naturally balance the increased ventilation against the need for gas exchange, which is, you know, breathing in oxygen, breathing out carbon dioxide. So this balance creates short, shallow breaths at a fast pace in order to increase the amount of fresh air movement over those mucous membranes of the respiratory tract, which is panting, exactly as you demonstrated to us. Oh, you're not going to do it again? I gave you a little opening.
I did not know if you'd want to hear me breathing my hot breath all over the microphone again. I feel like I gave a really good demonstration. You guys got the idea earlier. There's no sense in subjecting you to such things again.
Brachycephalic dogs are particularly susceptible to hyperthermia because of the anatomy of their upper airway. And I know we've talked about this already, but let's have another Nessie-Deffy for hyperthermia.
So that's when you hot, your body temperature high, you like, what are you?
Because of their compressed facial features, brachycephalic dogs have much more airway resistance than dogs with normal length muscles.
Again with Eva.
Hot-blooded.
All of these things would work, yeah.
Is there a song from like the early aughts? Oh, I'm probably thinking Hot in Here by Nelly. Getting hot in here.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. That is probably
keep
what I'm thinking
your
of.
Clothes. Yep.
Keep them on when you're around me.
So moving on to our next review. It is by whom?
Carl Benz? Mm-hmm. For Mercedes-Benz.
Okay, Mercedes-Benz it is. Well, Carl. Carl Mercedes. It is for the Vi-Stop non-slip splash pad for kids and dog with sprinkler pool summer outdoor water toy.
That looks fun.
It does look fun. However,
Carl didn't think so.
I, for some reason, wanted to go back to Howard. I don't know. Okay. So, Carl left a 1-star. It's called Sprays Outward.
Isn't that where it's supposed to spray?
The sprinklers spray outward. No matter how strategically I set it up, I can't get the water to spray inward unless I step on the edges and force it in that direction. But I'd have to stand there all day. Not sure if I got a dud or what. Tried for weeks in different spots of the yard and nothing helped. So I think they want the water to spread inward into like the pool area. And Hayes is spraying outward and like watering his grass. And the people are standing like in the splash pad and the dog and they're like, wait, the water
bone dry.
Unless he's standing outside pushing the water in with his feet, which that
sounds like a lot of work.
He said, I placed it in all different parts of my yard hoping it would help.
And it did not. Well, that's a bummer.
What you need to do is dig you out a little hole, a little smaller than the actual size of this splash pad, so that it sinks into the hole some, and then it'll angle your splashers into the middle of the pool.
Yes, that is one way to fix it.
Dig a hole.
But then your children and your dogs are going to fall into the hole.
I mean, at least you're not standing there holding it up with your foot. So
Well, you know what? You pick your battles.
You got a sprained ankle from playing in a hole in your ground, or you've got an asleep foot from holding your sprinklers up at your children and your dog. So, I don't know.
I mean, which one of those is really worse?
Personally, I feel like I don't want my foot to be asleep, so.
Okay, all right. You make a good argument.
So, anyway, it just is a weird sprinkler he bought for his yard. His neighbors are like, what was his name again? Johnson?
Carl.
Gaunt? I'm like...
Hey, man, what kind of car you get? I just bought me a Johnson.
What?
That is so funny because I didn't even say Johnson. I said...
Jonathan. Her John.
We're all wrong. It's Carl. So anyway, his neighbor's name must be Jonathan Johnson. And he was lying. He was like, Carl... Your yard looks great. What's this new sprinkler you got? And he's like, it's the splash pad. It's designed to water my whole yard. Except for that one circle where the actual splash pad is. That area is dead.
No sun, no water, nothing.
Yep. It's just a big round circle in the yard, so of all dead grass.
Actually, I think Jonathan Johnson might be like, hey, man, you got aliens? Because this is Florida.
Oh, yep. Hey,
Why you got dead rings in your yard?
Crop circles. Yep, we've left crop circles. So you know what he needs to do is move it to another spot every now and again so he gets a couple of different and then connect them.
Yep.
We're making our very own conspiracy theory.
I feel like if anyone would be real good at creating a brand new conspiracy theory, you would be it.
Because I'm the Nest Monster?
Because you're the Nest Monster. Because you're very funny, but it's like to a point that's just silly enough to be intriguing. But like you can tell a good story. Like your stories are always interesting. And so I bet that you could create, like off the top of the dome, just create this brand new conspiracy theory and you would be believable and it would be interesting, and it would be just silly enough for most people to be like, is she joking? I don't know.
You have to talk to my sister, because growing up, I've created many with her over the years that I had her convince as my younger sister and with my nieces.
Like what?
Well, so there was a time that I had my sister convince our dad was Batman. And
did you say, I mean, have you ever seen Dad and Batman in the same room together?
Right, that was part of it. And we would be driving home, like he would come pick us up from our grandparents' house after school and he'd get off work and he'd be driving like real fast in his old Ford truck, one of the covered trucks that we would be in the truck bed just rolling around in the back. He would be driving fast and I'd be like, oh my God, he's driving so fast that he must see because Joker's on his tail. My little sister would be like, ah. And so I would take her like to the back of the tailgate and we would be looking out the window and I'm like, you see these headlights? You see how fast they're coming up on us? That's Joker. Joker's in the car. And so she would be like so scared. She'd be like, Dad, faster, he's coming. And so she was just coming on time right now with Batman.
That's awesome. That's very funny. I love that.
We were on like high speed chases all the time.
Not because we're on the interstate.
And then my nieces, I had them convinced that all the Disney princesses own all those houses over there on Scenic Highway.
How is it because the one looks like the Taj Mahal and you were like, clearly that's where Jasmine lives?
Mm-hmm. And the one that had like the tiny pink dollhouse that matches the big house, I was like, that's Mickey and Minnie's house. They would tell all their friends in school, like, I know where Jasmine lives. My aunt.
Oh, man, that gives me so many ideas. My nieces and nephew are going to be so susceptible because I am the fun aunt. I've been trying so hard to be like, I'm the fun aunt. And then last week when I was up there, my brother and sister-in-law are like, do you enjoy being the crazy aunt? And I'm like, no. Fun aunt.
I've been the crazy aunt for, I guess, 17 years now, ever since my sister started having their kids. And so I'm just the one that pops in and out and you never know what's going to come out of my mouth or what they're going to do. So they would come in the night and I would have them convinced that the game controller that my husband would be holding is how he charges himself, like so that he can get up and like bowling. And
I mean, that's not really that far off, though, because for people who are introverts, like I remember living with my roommate years ago, but like, she was definitely extroverted. She always wanted, like, she wanted an open door policy, like revolving open door. And I was just like, I cannot have a ton of people in my home all of the time. I can't do it. But she would have friends over sometimes. And she would let me know that they were coming. But sometimes I didn't want to hang out. So I would be around, but I would need to be doing something by myself in order to literally recharge my social batteries. So like, you probably weren't that far off.
Maybe not.
I was in tumble classes when I was really, really young. And the only memory I have was this one day where I went and I acted like I was a dog the whole time. So I would like be crouching down. I'd be like in line waiting to do a somersault. And I'd just be crouching down with like one foot up and I'd just be going, arf, 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 arfy, arfy, arf. I don't remember classes after that. I don't know that I had any classes after that. But we were very...
They're normal in school now, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, like, that's not a surprise for someone who has made their living working with animals. So...
Right. Gotta start somewhere. I don't know where we even left off. Oh, we were describing hyperthermia.
Yes, we were. So we were talking about brachycephalics are more susceptible because of the anatomy of their upper airway. And it's more restrictive. So one thing that really helped me understand this is just kind of picture in mind, you know, a dog with a normal length muzzle. We call that mesocephalic. So we'll compare a mesocephalic dog like a beagle to a brachycephalic dog, like a French bulldog. They're about the same size. The beagle has open nostrils, right? Air can flow easily into the body through the nose. Whereas the Frenchie has very narrow nostrils, which restricts how much air can flow into the body. So, you know, you can think of it like breathing through a straw. The beagle has open and straight air passages that lead to the trachea, whereas the Frenchie has accordioned air passages. If we're looking at a beagle and a Frenchie, they're going to have roughly the same length of air passageways. So the air passageways don't shorten with the shorter muzzle. And so in order to fit the same length of air passageways into a super short muzzle, those passages have to like accordion and squish against each other, which creates resistance in the airflow. The beagle also has a regular soft palate in the back of the mouth, whereas the Frenchie has like an overlong soft palate, which can come down over the opening of the trachea like a flap and prevent air from getting down the trachea and into the lungs. And that's where a lot of like the snoring and snorting noises come from, is the overlong soft palate slapping over the trachea as the dog tries to breathe oxygen in. Beagle is going to have normal size laryngeal saccules, whereas the Frenchie is going to have enlarged laryngeal saccules. So these are small pouches in the larynx, which is the voice box, and they can become everted due to increased pressure in those narrow air passages. The beagle has a regular trachea or windpipe. The Frenchie has a very, very narrow trachea. And from my years intubating many brachycephalic dogs, and I'm sure you would say the same, I have found that I often have to use a like comically small endotracheal tube for even like a decently large sized brachycephalic dog.
Yeah, I agree.
When there is such resistance and airflow from nose to lungs, this creates the need for more forceful attempts to inhale in order to maintain adequate air movement. So the more forceful attempts to inhale become, the more it exacerbates soft tissue deformities, resulting in the need for more forceful attempts to inhale. So it's a pretty terrible cycle. With all of these anatomical changes in a brachycephalic dog respiratory system, it's easier to understand why there's a lot more airway resistance, which makes it such a struggle for them to cool down, even by excessive and even forceful panting. In this study, all of the mesocephalic dogs completed both the cool treatment and the hot treatment without respiratory distress. And of all the brachycephalic dogs, all of them completed the cool treatment, but five of them had to stop treatment when they started showing signs of respiratory distress during the hot treatment. They also noted during the hot treatment, the brachycephalic dogs panted harder than the mesocephalic dogs, and the increase in body temperature in response to heat stress for brachycephalic dogs was significantly greater than that for the mesocephalic dogs. The body condition score had the largest effect on breathing and body temperature. The more overweight the dogs were, higher BCS dogs had less panting, but higher body temperatures in response to the hot treatment. So their conclusion was that thermoregulation may be substantially impaired in obese brachycephalic dogs, and both upper airway conformation and BCS should be considered when evaluating whether an individual dog is capable of tolerating heat stress.
Commercialé.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So let's start with a Nessy Deffy for heat stroke.
Gosh, I don't know how to turn this into a Nessy Deffy.
Emergency. Emergency.
Yes. So in dogs, it is acute, rapidly progressive, life-threatening condition, and it's characterized by a rise in body temperature to above 105.8 Fahrenheit, which is 41 Celsius. And that causes damage to tissues and organs, and especially the central nervous system. So fatality is an unfortunate occurrence with heat stroke. And the prognosis really depends largely upon how high the pet's temperature gets and how long it stays too high. And then underlying health conditions that already affect the animal can definitely increase the risk of permanent damage and death. The chances of survival increase with early recognition, intensive treatment, and supportive care. So according to Animal Emergency Service, there's no set length of time as to how long it takes for a dog to die from heat-related illness, but death can occur within an hour. That can especially happen for dogs that are predisposed to heat stroke, when they have the abnormal airway conformation, or when they're obese, or when they have underlying heart conditions. You know, those are definitely dogs that are predisposed to heat stroke. And there have been cases where dogs have passed away in as little as 15 minutes from the onset of heat stroke. So early signs of overheating in animals will include excessive panting, elevated heart rate. So I don't think we've ever talked about how to find your dog's pulse. Like most people know pulse points on humans, but for dogs, of course, you can put your hand on their chest and see if you could feel the heart beating. A great pulse point is going to be the femoral pulse, which is on the inside of a back leg. When I first started in the field, like it took me a while before I could really like reliably find the femoral pulse. There's also like the dorsal pedal pulse, I feel like is easy to find, but that is in the crook where your dog's ankle is. It's more toward the inside, but it's still on the front of the foot. What is the average heart rate for a dog?
Oh, that also depends on their size usually.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's between 80 and 120.
Quick Google search. Medium to large dogs, it says, is between 60 and 100. So pretty much right where you were saying. And then for small dogs, it's like 100 to 140. So that's kind of where you want to start, you know, and individual dogs might be different. So your dog might be different. But if your dog's heart rate is elevated higher than that, if they're panting, if they have hypersalivation, you want to give a Nessie Deffy for hypersalivation?
Oh, yes, because I have a very wet mouth, so I'm very familiar. It's just drooling, even when you're not trying to be drooling. It just come out. If you don't even have to invite it, it's just there. I actually have a story about that.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was helping out up in reception. Grace was sitting at the computer on the phone. And I had just put a Hi-Chew candy in my mouth, which makes your mouth real juicy. And right then, a customer walked in. And since Grace was on the phone, I was like, I'll have you hop on the scale and I'll get the dog's weight for you, you know? And so I leaned down to read the weight on the scale. And a huge wad of drool came out my mouth and just flapped on the floor. And the client saw it, you know, there's no idea. And I was like, well, that just happened. Your dog's weight is this and that. I'll put it in the computer for you unless you know that you're here. And at this point, I was like, I definitely cannot be the one to get this room.
Oh my gosh, I would be so embarrassed. Those high shoes are so good, though.
Yes, and because I have the problem with a very wet mouth. It was overflowing.
Oh, dear. So, early signs of overheating in animals, excessive panting, elevated heart rate, hypersalivation, and then you might also see some weakness as well. As the condition progresses, you could also see dry gums, nausea, and vomiting, and you might even see some heat exhaustion, including collapse. When you start to see these signs, first aid things that you can do at home is going to be immediately like move the animal to a cooler area. If that cooler area doesn't have good ventilation, get a fan on them. And we do that quite a bit with dogs that are like excessively panting in the clinic. Like if they're stressing out and they're panting a lot really heavily, we'll put a fan on them just to get some airflow. Make sure that fresh water is available. Don't try to force them to drink, but you know, make it easily available if they want to. Young, healthy animals can be dipped in water. But for older or less healthy animals, you can pour water over them. You can also combine that with like a breeze, if it's breezy outside, or a fan, or even some AC. The water that you're using, this is really important. Like the water needs to be cooler than the pet, but we do not want to use cold water. Because cold water, it restricts blood flow in the skin, which reduces the ability to cool down. And it can also cause them to shiver. And shivering actually produces heat. So once you've started these steps, like call your vet. Like even if your pet seems fine afterwards, it's really, really important to follow up with your vet right away, because the more serious signs of heat stroke may not be as apparent.
Also, we might dab alcohol on their paw pads.
Oh, yeah. Because alcohol, it evaporates a lot faster than regular water does. So we'll do that in surgery. If a pet is getting like really warm during surgery, then we'll use alcohol on their paw pads.
All right. So shall we do a review? We're continuing on with car founders, granddads of the car.
Granddaddy. That's right.
Granddads of the vehicles, yeah. So who do we have then?
The next one is going to be for Horace Elgin Dodge.
I'm going to call him Horace. Yeah, I'm just going to call him Horace. Yeah. So this product from Horace is called Coods.
Coods?
Yep. Dog cooling bandana collar with recyclable ice packs.
Huh. Okay.
Put little ice packs in the collar. 4-star. Okay. What was his name? Oh, right. 4 stars from Horace. Great, but my pugs are idiots.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know this would work and keep our fur babies cool, but our pugs are dumb and they can't handle things on them. One tries to eat the drawstring and the other just stands there uncomfortable like she's had some prison collar put on. So we just use these by putting them... on the floor, and sometimes they lay on them.
All right. That's a way to make it work. Make it work, Horace.
Yeah, if your dog's going to chew on it, it's not going to work.
I mean, there's definitely something to be said about pugs are brachycephalic, right? So we've talked about how brachycephalic dogs, like, they don't breathe as easily as dogs with regular-sized muzzles, which means that they may not get as much oxygen as dog with regular sized muzzles. So they might not get as much oxygen to their brain. You know?
And a nice ice scarf to help keep them from overheating is just like a weird obstruction in their life where they're like, can't move, can't move.
It's like when you put a sweater on your dog and they don't know what to do, so they just fall over.
Those are my favorite videos to watch. Like, oh, look how special you are. Oh, poor kiddo. He tried. Well, maybe he didn't try, but...
So, like, there's one big difficulty I find with any animals, dogs, cats, chickens, turkeys, whatever, all the ones that I have anyway, is just, like, you are doing something to help them, but they don't understand it. And they can't understand it because they are an animal. It doesn't matter. You can explain it to them. You can try and get them to understand that you're not doing something that is going to hurt them, but, like, they don't always get it.
They don't get it.
So it does not surprise me that a dog was just like, what is this? What is this? And didn't give it
to the other one was like, oh, scared. Obviously it's my snack.
Right.
And start chewing on their ice collar. So, oh man, poor puggies.
Yeah. So for treating heat-related illnesses, there are several things your vet may be able to do once they've given your pet the diagnosis of heat stress or heat stroke. Starting IV fluids is something that your vet may do for your pet. Like, this ensures that your pet is rehydrated, and the temperature of the fluids is oftentimes like room temperature, which can help, you know, regulate your pet's temperature. Your vet may decide that your pet is in need of some oxygen therapy. Like, this might be especially likely if your pet is brachycephalic, to ensure that your pet is keeping their body oxygenated through the excessive panting. Electrolytes, glucose, those things might be given to your pet. That can help pets that are too hot to eat or drink. Blood products like fresh frozen plasma might be recommended as well. Your pet might be prescribed medications to go home, like antibiotics to protect the GI tract, or pain medications if they seem painful. Even like anti-seizure medications might be prescribed, like if your pet's heat stroke is severe enough to possibly give them seizures. So there are a number of things that your vet might decide to do for your pet if they're experiencing some heat stress. So there's kind of a whole gambit of things that are possible for if you bring your pet in for that situation. Some ways that you can try and prevent heat-related illness for pets is to make sure they always have a shaded, cool area with fresh water available. If your pet stays inside the house with AC running, this is probably not going to be a problem for them. You know, but for outdoor pets or farm animals like I have, that's super important. You also, like what you were saying last episode, is you want to restrict exercise on warm days and hot days, especially for dogs that have a lot of energy to burn. You know, like, go for walks in the early morning or the late evening, and just avoid the hottest part of the day. Keep lots of water on hand during those walks. Now, during July and August here in Florida, like, I rarely let the chickens out of their pens. Their pens are in the shade. They have water always. Like, when they're let out to free range, they like to run and jump and fly around, and they like to be really active. But when they do that, they just pant and they struggle all day long. They hold their wings out to the sides so they can get more airflow between their wings and their body.
I did not realize chickens panted.
Yes, they do. I like to keep ice out there for them. I bury some of their treats in an ice bowl so that they can get some really cold water. They can get some treats. You can do that in the water bowls for your dogs and cats as well. It's a great way to help them stay a little bit cooler. Ice, just general ice, is a favorite treat around my house. And if I put a bunch of ice in the water bowl, Jetty will just like sit at the bowl and grab cube after cube and just eat the entire bowl of ice.
It is important if you have a dog that is just come in from playing hard outside and is panting excessively that you don't let them take in a ton of water or eat a bunch of food. It can increase their chances of bloat in deep-chested dogs, or it can have them vomit. So you do still want to be mindful and not let them cool down too quickly with like a gobs of water.
I didn't make that in my notes, but yes, that's true. So it's also a really good idea just to keep your pets regularly groomed if that's something that's recommended for your pet's breed, because long-haired animals benefit from getting short haircuts during the hot season.
That doesn't mean double-coated breed. That means long coats like a long-coated Yorkie, a Sooty Terrier, a Schnauzer, a Shih Tzu. Mm. That does not mean your Husky or your German Shepherd.
No, dogs with thick undercoats, they benefit from having their dead undercoat blown out. That will help them keep cool. That undercoat helps keep heat off of their skin as well. So it keeps them warmer in the winter. It also keeps them cooler in the summer. So please, 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 please do not shave your double-coated dog.
There are occasions where there's a medical reason that you must do it. Yeah, but if it's just because your dog is hot, that is not a good excuse.
Yeah. And I would say, like, there are a number of dogs that if you start to shave them regularly, their undercoat will not grow back, or it'll grow back real weird. Pomeranians, you do that a lot. Their hair gets a little bit weird if you shave them regularly.
Well, how about another review?
This one is from William Leland. He founded Lincoln Cars. He named it after Abraham Lincoln.
All right. Mr. Leland. Leland?
William Leland. Yeah.
William. All right. It is another review for that pet cooling bandana thing around the neck, the pet scarf. It's a 4-star review. Turns my dog into a cowboy who's clearly ready for a popsicle duel at high noon.
Oh, that's so cute. A popsicle duel.
I don't know what kind of dog it is, to say, but he really gets frisky with his cold bandana on. He's definitely not a pug.
No, that is not the behavior of a pug.
No, we learned that the pugs don't understand how to wear these. So I wish I knew what kind of dog breed. It sounds like it would have been really cool. A popsicle duel. He's like, hit him up. And he's got his popsicle on his stick. I have another review.
Yeah, all right. I have one more person.
Perfect. What you got?
I have Ferdinand Porsche.
So this one is for a pool float. It's called X Powlorler. Powlorler.
What?
E X P A W L O R E R.
Oh, instead of Explorer, it's X. Polluer.
So it's inflatable dog full float. The dog float. Dog pool float.
The dog full.
It's just a little.
Oh, cute. Yes.
Yeah. And it is a 1-star from Ferdinand.
Oh no.
What kind of car did he do again?
Porsche.
Porsche. Oh, Lord, that's too fancy for us. You know, 1-star. 1-star. Not worth the cost. Uh-oh. We're not talking about Ferdinand's car. We're talking about this pool float. The top doesn't have a grip, so it's slippery when wet. It's hard to blow up and doesn't have a safety valve to keep the air in as you're blowing it up. Within a week, it was already losing air. Used it once and put it away. I do not recommend it.
That's a bummer.
It's slippery when it's wet. And it keeps, like, when you're blowing it up, the air's just coming back into your mouth when you're trying to like. It sounds like a nightmare.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It feels like a bad time. Yeah.
Why? Like, what makes this product pet specific? Why can't you just get like a regular floaty?
I don't know. It doesn't have any grip, so the dog is slipping off of it. I think the only thing making it pet specific is that it has paw prints on it and the dog is sitting on it. I mean, it doesn't have extra grip, so they say. It's not like extra thick, so the nails don't pop. I don't really understand. It's just another cash grab.
Yeah, I think it's a marketing thing where it's just like, this is clearly for dogs. People will spend money on this, right?
Yeah.
That's okay.
I do hate that he says free when wet. That makes me uncomfortable, but it is what it is.
Well, there are a bunch of like road signs that say that. Do you get uncomfortable with the road signs to you?
Yeah. The pictures, like the little pictures that go along with it. It's like the little car that's like swerving. I'm not for it. If we could just not do that, that'd be great.
That'd be great. That would be great.
All right. We need a genre for our AI songs.
Ooh. You know what I've been listening to recently is like folk type music. Have you done one of those before?
We did a sea shanty.
I love the sea shanty one.
Yeah. The poop one. I can see what comes up when I try those different genres. All right, guys. So you have managed to make it through another episode. Another two-parter episode. And here's the thing. You can find all of our source information in our show notes. There will be a bibliography. I used that word before. Bibliography. And also our social media handles are in there. Our email. We really look forward to connecting with you guys and reaching out. Now we're world travelers and international. So that's a big deal. We're ready. We're about everybody's countries also. And then if you guys happen upon any cool animal related reviews for products, places, things, and you stumbled across it and you're like, this would be great for Let's Talk About Pets, you can send that to us in our email. We'll give you credit for it. We'll add a funny name to the reviewer. All those cool things.
Or if there's like a topic that you want to learn about and you want us to cover, like, I would love to have somebody else's ideas.
If you happen to be an exotic pet expert, we are also looking for one for an episode about exotics. So reach out to us. We'd love to have you on. I guess I'll close us out. This is Nessie, sinking back into the cool depths until the next pet peril surfaces. Stay shady, stay hydrated, and remember, legends live forever. But pets need protection now.
Just good. These are good today.
Nailed me. I kind of started with feel it out. See you next time, where the facts are real and the monsters are kind, is kind of what I've been feeling the most. So, bye!
Sun climbs high, burns the sky, pavement sizzles, air runs dry, a tail wags slow, a tongue hangs low, they don't know, they just go, they just go. Keep them cool, keep them shaded. Don't let their energy get too faded. A bowl of water, a patch of shade. Keep them cool.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Laptop's hot, burns the paws. Summer's heat. Today, so watch their way, watch their way, watch their way. Ears droop down, eyes look glazed, the warning sign, the heat's ablaze. Keep them cool, keep them shaded, don't let their energy get too faded. A bowl of water, that's how it's made. A fan hums low, the grass feels green, the kiddie pool's a welcome scene. They don't need words to tell you it's cruel, you've gotta act smart. keep them cool.